Hey everyone, it's Haley here. I have a really quick intro. I just want to say thank you to all of our fans and everyone who has supported us since we've started. It means a whole heck of a lot, especially as we are coming up on the close of book two. Not this episode, but coming soon. So with that, again, I wholeheartedly just want to say thank you and welcome to episode 78. I know I got skills.
Like liquor and things that go boo? Then buckle up, listener, cause this one's for you. Prepare yourself for the Hideous Laughter Podcast.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Hideous Laughter Podcast, episode 78. Emily, what you drinking?
Tonight, I'm drinking chamomile gin.
Just straight gin?
With some ice and water in it. The chamomile really smooths out the flavor.
Speaking to someone with a smooth flavor, Brooks, what you drinking, buddy?
Aw, thanks, Riff. I am drinking North High Brewing Wired, a coffee stout. And tell you what, it really brings me to the edge of my seat. Wired is exactly how I would describe it.
Well, speaking of the edge of my seat, I'm at the edge of my seat to figure out what Haley's drinking.
I am drinking another pineapple cider.
Same thing as last time?
Yep.
I forget if that's what you had.
Yeah.
And the happy Patreon boy, Steve, what you drinking, buddy?
Yeah, Griff, I am the happy Patreon boy today because I'm drinking some bilge water.
Oh, that sounds...
sounds bad. It's potable. Literally just a gin martini. I believe it was... referred to us by the Hora. I'm drinking it for the first time out of my big slurp cup that my good friend Jeremy gave us. Yeah, it's just like a cup of liquor, but I like it, so that works.
It's a pretty big mug you got there.
Yeah, I was pretty generous with the pours here. Emily's trying to get a picture. The slurp is facing towards me. It's not going to come out in the picture. I'm sorry. That's good.
Nice. I think a real gin martini, though, would have dry vermouth, not sweet vermouth.
Yeah.
I think that's the only difference, but you're very close.
Hey, does the trick, man.
Speaking of something I'm hoping does the trick, for the first time ever, I found this. I think it was teased sometime in summertime that Four Loko would be making a hard seltzer. Lo and behold, the gas station by my work had one. As I was coming back from a long, hard day, I figured, stop at the gas station.
Enjoy a hard Four Loko.
Give myself something.
Unwind with a Four Loko.
Really need to unwind. Maybe 24 ounces of 12% seltzer will do the trick. So I'm drinking fucking Four Loko black cherry seltzer.
A hint of black cherry.
Hint of black cherry. Let me just smell it first. Oh, this is going to be really foul.
Oh, boy. Dude, come on. I got to try that with you.
Yeah, I absolutely have to.
Such a noise. Whoa.
Oh, that's gnarly.
Well, you went in for two takes, though.
Well, I'm going to be drinking it for the rest of the sesh, so.
Oh, boy.
See, oh boy. I think you guys made the mistake of smelling it first.
That might be.
Gotta just put it in your mouth right away.
Oh, dear.
Steve's eyes just, like, doubled in size.
I don't know if anybody else here watches the Eric Andre show. Oh, God, I fucking bungled that. The Eric Andre show, but Hannibal Buress, so I was just like, whack. And that's the only emotion I feel towards this beverage. Just whack.
It's something, all right. Oh, boy.
Definitely tastes boozy.
It's got all of the Four Loko, but, like, none of the seltzer to it.
No, it's got, like, no seltzer to it.
All of the Four, like...
I'm gonna be tasting this in my mouth for the rest of the night.
Oh, yeah. Brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy on the... It's almost grapey. I would call that more of a grape flavor than cherry.
Well, so it's not a hint?
Oh.
Well, it's a hint of something. I wouldn't call that.
It's not a hint.
It might be a hint of cherry, but they forgot to put on the label that it was grape flavored.
Oh, so it's more like a punch in the face of my flavor.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you could call... yeah, never mind. There's a short online with a grape flavored children's drink that's really funny.
Oh,
and everyone that's seen it is
yep.
So we don't have to roll because next episode we're drinking a team drink.
We are sharing the burden,
sharing the load. But you guys leveled up last episode.
Woo!
Yeah, you.
So I'm excited to hear a cool thing that you got for level 7. Emily, what'd Freya get? I know we don't know that much about her yet, but I'm sure she got some new cool stuff.
She did. One of the things that everyone has seen already is some channeling of positive energy, and instead of just having 3d6, she now gets 4d6.
Oh, shit. I shouldn't have let you guys level up. I knew it.
We're probably going to need all the healing we can get.
Oh, yeah. I can almost promise that.
And she now has 4th level spells.
Oh, sweet.
There's some pretty good ones.
Decent level for Freya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
Happened fast. All she had to do was endure 2 combats. Wow. That's what I get for keeping everybody on track with milestone leveling. Haley, what Eclipse get?
All right, I got level 3 spells. Another focus power, which I'm excited about. You guys didn't seem as excited. And I get 2 attacks now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Freya gets 2 attacks now, too.
Yes.
Everybody that's 3/4
B.A.B.
Welcome
to the club.
Matumbe's got them, too.
2 attacks and attacks of opportunity. As per feet.
Oh, you got combat reflexes? Nice. What about Ick?
Well, I especially love being a fighter for the fact that I get a feat every level. And but to start off, I got the level 7 armor mastery. So I can use another point of dex toward my AC. So that goes up by 1.
Nice.
And Ikmer finally learned how to hold the tankard right to where he can use it in combat. So they catch off guard. And so he can use that at full BAB now, which is fantastic. All he had to do was, instead of use it like a regular cup, just turn it around so it's more of like a brass knuckles. Oh. It was that easy. It was that easy the whole time. Yeah.
And last but certainly not least, would Matumbe take at level 7?
All right. So I want to preface this. A while ago, we leveled up to level 6. And when we did, Tim made a joke about Matumbe multiclassing because he was too overpowered. And I laughed at that. But then I thought a long time.
Oh, no, Steve.
No, you didn't.
And I looked at level 7
buddy,
for Inquisitor.
Buddy.
And I was not excited about it. So for the first time ever, for myself, I've never done this. I have multi-class.
Fuck. What could possibly mesh with Living Grimoire?
Let me tell you, Griff. I can't say this for certain because I have not listened to every Pathfinder actual play, but I would be willing to bet that I am the very first actual play Inquisivestigator.
Holy shit.
Yes.
That's amazing.
So, what does that get me? First of all, I gain something absurd, like 40 fucking skill points, because nearly every single one of my skills now is a class skill, because the Inquisitor class skills and the Investigator class skills complement each other very well. Additionally, I get something called Inspiration. Essentially, because Matumbe is so incredibly smart, anytime that I have to roll a spellcraft, linguistics, or a knowledge check, I can for free add a d6. Additionally, I have a pool of inspiration points. I have 7 of them that I can add d6s to other skill checks. Now I can also add d6s to attack rolls and will saves. I'm sorry, attack rolls and any saves, but I have to use 2 of those inspiration points. So effectively, I'm getting 3 free D6s in combat, and then a bunch of skill check stuff. So not only did I take a new class, but I also took an archetype of that class.
Oh, yeah?
I took the Empiricist.
Oh, I knew it. Yep. That gives you a bunch more things based off intelligence.
That's correct. So at level 2 of Investigator, when I get to level 2 of Investigator, a ton of my skills that key off of other abilities are going to flip to intelligence. So I'm going to have another like 30 or 40 point bump to my skills.
Dang.
So all said and done, I really don't know how this is going to turn out, but I feel pretty passionately about this. I've put a lot of thought into this, what I wanted to multi-class into, and I know this is a little bit of a roll of the dice, but hey, that's what we do on this show. And to celebrate, I downloaded a soundboard, and every time I roll inspiration, I'm going to play a drop.
Are you playing the drop first right
now? I'm going to play the drop right now.
Oh, God.
that is Shaquille O'Neal's single Skills, parentheses, I know I got skills.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So that's a new addition to our show.
Do you get studied combat yet?
That is going to happen at, I believe, 3rd or 4th level. So it's going to be a minute. And I'm glad that you bring that up. For those of you who aren't particularly familiar, the Investigator is actually a hybrid class of an alchemist and a rogue. So it, you know, kind of takes something from each.
It's kind of a bummer you took it at this level, though, because you don't get your extra BAB.
That's true. But I actually get better saves taking the first level instead of taking another level in Inquisitor.
Gotcha.
So I do sacrifice that second attack. I do sacrifice the additional BAB, but I do get some stuff that I'm very excited about. Also, I get extracts, which I haven't talked about at all, but we'll just see how that plays out.
Bitube is going to be the king of first level spells and extracts.
That's right.
Well, they always say when you play a caster or a partial caster, not to multi-class, but here we are.
Here we are.
So, it's a bold strategy. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Neat.
I know I got skills, man.
I know I got skills. Wow. So, with that revelation, I want to drop another revelation on you guys. We have our second corruption on the podcast. Official. Ikmer now has the lycanthropy corruption.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm so excited. I mean, I don't know if you guys can see, but there's a huge smile on my face. So, the shift form is the official, manifestation of the lycanthropy corruption that I have. And so, I can roll a constitution check, and if I pass, I can be hybrid form. So my luscious locks are going to be slightly longer, and my ears even more pointier.
My Ikmer, what big teeth you have.
And teeth and claws and All the better to kiss you with.
Oh, cute.
Nailed it.
Cute. Nailed it. Perfect. Take it to the bank. All right. So with that little bit of bookkeeping and fun stuff out of the way, you guys find yourselves in the bottom level of a tall tower, the final tower of Schloss Cromark. And when you entered this room, you fought a grisly, monstrous parody of what a Gorion is. And it rended into you, and it tore you apart. The only thing saving you, Ikmer's new curse and your new companion, Freya. You defeated this creature And here you sit in the bottom floor of the tallest tower. At this point, the wind has picked up outside. The doors are kind of swaying. And you hear the rumblings far off of another storm on the horizon. Uncharacteristically for maybe Lepidstadt or the rest of the area, this gorge in particular seems to really attract these storms. What do you guys do?
I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but I feel fairly spent. Everyone else kind of in that same boat?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long day so far.
I mean, if you think about it, Matumbe and Ikmer have been awake for a really long time. Think about the day they've had. They woke up after getting the shit kicked out of them by a mummy, went across the way, got the shit bit out of them by leeches, got attacked by Vargoyles, got kissed, rode back to town, rode back here, almost having died, decided to continue on, had their friend die, had a funeral, went back in. You guys have had combat after combat after combat. And yet, probably with the goods that you got from town, you're still trucking through. So yes, I understand feeling spent, because if you go much further, you'll enter into pretty much the stages of exhaustion. You might skip right over fatigue. The adrenaline of losing a companion and these fights is kind of wearing off.
I hate to be the one who says it, but we assuredly have a large battle ahead of us. And I am running on empty here. I need to rest and recuperate before anything else.
Yeah, I want to be ready, because I don't want to have to run away. Whoever killed Lyra needs to go down. So I think it'd be good if we really set a good watch schedule and rested. I want to be 100%. There's no way I want her getting away.
In the back of Ikmer's head, he's thinking, just go up there. Like, he's still childish enough to think that he has the energy, even though he was so tired after his first shifting. But, like, he just wants to go get it over with. He thinks he can still do it, but
okay, fine. I guess so.
Just for the listeners, how many health were you down, Ikmer, thinking he can just go upstairs?
Oh, we ended the episode with saying that, and I
think you were down like 70 health.
It was indeed 70 health, and so yeah,
we healed off air. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, so you guys get some healing done. Your new party member being integral in getting the entire party back to full strength. So, Freya, I imagine you're using pretty much everything in your arsenal because you're thinking that you're all going to rest.
Yeah, she uses the rest of her channel positive energy, and she also has spontaneous casting, so she can swap out her spell slots for healing of the same level or lower. So she does that for almost all of her slots, but she does hold on to one spell in particular. So as the rest of the party is wanting to calm down and sleep, she agrees. We could all use a bit of rest, but I have a letter to write first. And she sits down, pulls out a little scrap of parchment and some reading glasses, and starts writing a letter. Mikhail, I'm sorry to tell you this in a letter. Lyra's passed from this world. She gave her life trying to save a friend. We're close to the one who caused her death. Dr. Saloom won't be able to hurt anyone else after we find her. May Arastel grant you peace. Freya. And she's gonna roll the little strip of paper up, walk back to the door, creak it open, and put a few little seeds out as she casts Animal Messenger and calls a small bird.
And through the storm, not a small bird, but a large shape approaches, and it descends, and you can really make it out, even from far away, from these roiling dark clouds, you see it descend. A white raven lands. It pecks once or twice at the food before grabbing the message in its beak and flying away. And as it leaves, you can see, especially as a dwarf, this bird in particular's wingspan is immense. It's much bigger than any raven you've seen, maybe 5 feet across. It swoops into the night and almost seems unfazed by the wind and the rain.
That'll definitely make it through the storm. My message will find its recipient.
And as you close the door, make a perception check.
I mean, with this letter writing, I guess I was assuming Freya would be doing first watch then? Or...
Yeah, sure. She'd stay up while everyone's going
to sleep. I imagine you guys have some time.
Gotcha.
At this point, you know, after the fight, it's maybe a couple hours before you actually bed down so you can have a normal night.
I see.
I'm assuming you would want to sleep at night. Because realistically, I mean, the day happens kind of quickly. Even with a funeral and stuff, it's probably only early evening when you dispatch of this.
21?
With the 21, you notice as you shut the door, schematics on the back of it, written in chalk. The rest of you can go ahead and make a perception check as well.
14.
25.
7.
Batumbe, well, everyone actually notices kind of scraps of paper. As the door opens, they rustle in the breeze of an open door. And they're relatively scattered haphazardly among the room. And Batumbe is the first one to put together that these seem like notes about something. And he with now his increased knowledge, thinks these were notes taken on a device.
These scattered papers seem to be some sort of device that may be mechanical in nature. I'm not sure what for.
Griffin, is there an opportunity to roll like a knowledge engineering or something?
You can make a linguistics check, as these are written in code.
Well, that's one of my... that is one of my inspiration-free skills. So, for everyone at home...
God damn it.
We're not doing this every time, are we?
We'll see. All right, and I actually fucking crushed that, so... 18 off of my d20 gets me up to a 26, and then an extra 3 with the inspiration is 29.
Anyone else have linguistics?
Yes.
Roll the aid.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, I forgot. I auto-aid.
Yeah, I'm going to give this to you. DC 30.
Ah.
you can decipher enough of the notes to learn about a device in this tower. And it continues to be referred to as the Bondslave Thrall.
Okay.
Further, you learn, and again, you're rifling through these notes, you're taking your time with these couple of hours before you go to bed. And what you can pick out through the scattered musings and trying to fit the pages together in the right order, this thing can control the Beast of Lepidstat.
Well, that's how they got him to rob shit out of the museum.
Nice.
Eclipse and Matumbe are working together.
You see here, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Looks like our friend Larry is a puppet to this mechanical device.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, where could this device be now?
And it's maybe at this moment that Freya alerts you to the schematic on the back of the door.
I found something over here. I don't know what it means, but take a look.
What sure. Kind of...
And Freya, you can actually help with this because this is a knowledge arcana.
Yay!
So I don't know if you guys want to like group aid.
I will aid.
And rely on Mr. I know I got skills, or...
I got a static 13, a d20, and a d6.
Yeah, no, I'm going
to I'm going to try to aid.
Well, I auto-aid.
I don't aid.
All right, off my two dice, I've got 18 with... what you said it was Arcana?
Yeah.
Okay, 31 before any aids. And then Emily, you said? Or no. Haley, you said? Okay, 33?
Yeah, you recognize this is this functions like a lightning rod. You imagine it's at the top of the tower. Further, you can make out, and I think it's because you studied so hard these previous notes. This is not in the same hand. Whatever's written here was written by someone different.
Oh, interesting.
It's in this like scratchy, tight handwriting. And you can notice there's some scratches on the wood next to it. And you see several levers and knobs and mechanisms. Matumbe, you receive a +2 on any attempt to activate the Bondslave Thrall.
Ooh, okay. I don't know if I want to do that, but good. So just to put two and two together here, we have the schematics for the machine itself, and we know this building functions like a lightning rod. Is it ridiculous for our characters to think if it's a machine that could be powered by electricity and we are standing in a literal lightning rod that it's at the top of this tower?
It's not ridiculous at all. That's what I was trying to give you, is that it's a lightning rod, so it's clearly not inside.
I didn't want to draw any connections as like outside of the game. That's what I thought immediately. Cool.
Yeah. So Matumbe, you likely think here that it would require going to the tallest heights of this tower, and you know that the Bondslave Thrall is a mechanism at the base of this lightning rod. Mm-hmm. So the lightning rod basically absorbs the energy and you utilize the device when lightning is struck.
I can't say for certain, but I think I may be able to use this device. And furthermore, I think we're standing right below it.
Whoa, Matumbe, I mean, you wouldn't really control Larry, like, against his will, no? I mean, that wouldn't be very nice.
Everyone make an intelligence check.
18.
I guess I'll make one.
I rolled a natural 20.
Mine fits my character.
Okay, so a natty one?
Maybe.
Haley?
22.
Yeah, so everyone but Ikmer thinks on this, and thinking, I think Ikmer actually sparks the idea. Why would you want to control our friend? And then you think of the implication. And you think of the person in this tower that's working against you. And you think that if she has access to this, she could control Larry.
Ikmer, no one wants to control Larry against his will, but if it's controlling him to be on the good side ours, so that he's not controlled to work for the bad side, what's the lesser of two evils?
Well, I guess you have a point there, and I agree that nobody bad should use it, but I think we should at least try to destroy it or something afterwards so anybody else can't, and I don't think we should certainly use it. That wouldn't be that, as long as we just destroy it afterwards and he is okay and can still live without it, I guess. I don't know exactly how it works, so.
So, Matumbe, you listen to Ikmer say this, and your head is still swimming with all of these notes and with this schematic, and you think, yeah, that makes perfect sense. We should destroy it. But you also think that you could probably channel benefits to Larry using this device.
Gotcha.
Ikmer, we'll see when we see the device. I don't have it in front of me, but maybe there are less subtle ways of influencing Larry with the device than actually controlling his actions. Perhaps we can enhance his senses, make his attacks hit harder. Nothing he doesn't want to do, but make him more powerful.
But that's not Larry. I guess unless he wants the benefits, and I understand being like stronger is better most of the time, and being well, anyways, I see your point, but as long as he's okay with it.
Yes, I fear that it is a situation we'll have to address when we come to it. Context is everything, of course.
Ikmer, do you remember how Lyra's songs made you feel? It could be like that. Makes you feel stronger. Motivated to fight.
Matumbe, would you say that is true?
I brought you back from the brink of death.
Yeah, sorry. I guess I didn't say thanks for that, but thanks. So, Matumbe, yeah?
I can't know anything for certain, seeing just results on paper, but I believe our friend Freya may be delivering a very apt analogy here.
All right, fine. I guess you're kind of right, Freya.
I think you're going to be needing Freya's help more and more through the coming days, Ikmer. Be gentle with your words.
And so, you study a little bit, and are you barricading yourselves in here? So anyone can make a knowledge arcana check on the hatch you saw when you came in.
God damn.
Well,
I'm gonna aid Matumbe.
Ooh, I do.
This is gonna be like stupid high. I got oh shit. Hold on. What was the knowledge again?
Arcana.
All right.
Yeah, two have, aids.
I have 32, 37. It's in the 40s, man.
Jeez.
You know that this adamantine trapdoor would burn a flesh golem or the like. A golem in particular trying to open this wouldn't be able to open it.
I'm sorry, is this the door going outside? Or
it's
like
the
maybe
door
upstairs?
Going upstairs.
Upstairs, okay.
It's the trap door.
I think if we barricade this door, frankly, there's no flesh monstrosity that could get through it. Maybe Dr. Saloom's a different story, but I'm sure she'd make some sort of racket opening it up. I think we're safe here for the night.
All right, let's set a watch schedule.
So you guys set a watch. It sounded like Freya maybe takes the first watch.
Eclipse would like to take the last.
So Eclipse takes the last watch. So you guys are sleeping for... You guys are resting for like 12 hours. So maybe Eclipse falls asleep early in the evening.
Oh yeah, no, she'd be out.
After she realizes she's done her last aid for Matumbek, she goes to sleep. And the rest of you follow suit. And Freya... God damn it. I knew it was coming. I knew I was going to fuck it up once.
Better cut it.
No, leaving it in. Freya takes the first watch. And everybody else, while they're sleeping, we fade. And we enter in a well-lit living room. The fire roars in the fireplace, and we hear a rocking chair. Thank you. That was the most unnecessary thing of 2020, calling it.
Fuck these hotkeys.
So, we hear a rocking chair, and our vision bobs with it. And we see through the eyes of the person in the chair, the family of Wyangs cowering. But when the eyes look down, it's the body of Eclipse. And she sits in the chair and she rocks. And she feels this strange feeling. Something she hasn't felt in years. Despite her family sitting before her, she feels utterly alone. There are no voices in her head, no companions in her objects. Everything's gone, and she can feel it. And she turns to her family, and she asks them to tell her a story. Tell her something really interesting about the time since she's been gone. And then we fade back out. But the fire continues to roar. The cold, dark walls of this room surprise Matumbe as he wakes up. Stone and extravagance are what he sees around him. But he can hear the crackling of a fire from downstairs. It must be large. And he dons his clothes and clasps his book and heads downstairs, down this winding spiral staircase, thinking of the spiral. He attempts to draw the spiral over his heart, but he can't quite remember which direction it goes. It's like his mind's in a fog. He enters a foyer from the stairs, and what he sees there surprises him. by the fire is his daughter, Kizza. And sitting a little further off on a bench at a table is a cleric he recognizes. A woman. He thinks, he remembers, she tried to save his daughter. When he looks into the room deeper, he realizes that it's no mere kindling in this fireplace. His holy book is burning in the flames, providing a red and then a blue flame. Shocked by this, he looks down at his own ironclad book. And it's adorned with a fly and a skull on its back. The two women by the fire turn to him and smile. And we fade back out. At this point, the watch shifts, and I think Matumbe probably takes the next watch so he can get a full night rest. So Matumbe and Freya switch positions, and Freya, you've been noticing kind of some of your compatriots mumbling and moving in their sleep. It doesn't seem entirely restful. I don't know if you say anything to Matumbe.
Did you sleep okay? The storm's pretty wild out there.
It must be messing with my mind. Exhaustion and bad weather do that to an old man like myself. I dream the strangest things, Freya, for I've seen much of the world. It all jumbles together and sometimes makes very little sense.
I hope you got enough rest.
I hope your rest is much more relaxing than mine. I imagine you've seen much of the world as well. I'd hate to think that two of us have such uncomfortable dreams as I.
I've learned to push the memories back. I can sleep like a rock.
Sweet dreams.
And so Freya falls asleep, and we fade to the sounds of a crowd. And this crowd appears to be cheering for you, Ikmer. But this is no ordinary crowd. It's a group of wolves. In human form and in hybrid form, they cheer and all face you. And the first person in this crowd is a taller, older, gray half-orc. You can see the gray in his skin matches the hints of gray in his beard and his hair, and his yellow eyes look up at you with pride. He reaches out to grab your hand, and he pulls you in. And then the howling begins. But this isn't from your group. This is from all sides in the forest you're in. And you feel you can understand it. And you feel the hair on the back of your neck bristle. And you know this isn't calling for other members of a pack. This is a battle cry. You lead the howl that spreads to the rest of your brethren. as you erupt in a howl to respond. And then we fade to the smell of breakfast. Freya, you hear the door slam, but you know the exact reason. Your husband's gone early to the mine again this morning. You feel sore and tired, like all of the healing you've had to be doing is wearing down on you. You wake up and you smell breakfast. He's left it. Smells fresh. You head downstairs. Looks like eggs and bacon. Looks like it's on a hot pan and probably ready to eat. Seems like you and your husband have a thing going. He does this when he leaves early, and you wake up to the smell. It's never dangerous. He always knows you'll be down before it gets cold, and he won't wait too long. Frey, you take a few bites of your breakfast, and you feel sick. And it catches in your throat a little bit, and suddenly the taste of eggs is the most unappetizing thing in the world, and you vomit. And then you think, and you wipe the vomit off your mouth, and you smile. You've been healing people and tending to people a long time. You know what this is. You've dealt with this before. This is morning sickness. And you're excited. And then we fade back out.
Griff, take a hero card for all that.
You like that?
That was nice, man. I wasn't expecting that this time around.
Well, you know, there's always a potential we don't all make it into book three. So, morning comes. Who's last on watch? Ikmer?
No.
Eclipse. You hear a pound on the front door. And it shakes the hinges, but does not open.
Who is it? I don't know what else to do here.
You say that loud enough to hear.
Yeah, loud enough to hear, and also loud enough that the rest of them would, and I'd be like, obviously I'd be standing near them, so I'd kind of either, I wouldn't want to bend down because obviously I'd be standing and they'd probably be laying on the ground. I might, like, gently nudge them with my toes.
So they'd hear between you saying that and kind of you nudging them.
It's me, Eclipse. Let me in.
Did you choose to come here?
What are you talking about, Eclipse?
Eclipse is gonna be quiet for a minute and gesture wildly in slight panic to Matumbe because she has no idea what she's doing, and then we'll say, Ikmer's also here. Did you come to visit him?
I need your help. I wasn't expecting you'd be here.
That seems so off.
Are we all awake at this point?
Yes.
Freya wants to do a sense motive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should kind of go around the horn and be doing that. We know that something could be off, so I don't think it's out of line for us all to be like, oh, I don't know what's going on here.
And while, since Ikmer has been up, I'm sure, for just a little bit, he was taking that time to sharpen his sword.
Oh, okay, sure.
So, for sense motive, Eclipse has, Eclipse would have an 8, or a 28, if it's under enchantment, or under something it shouldn't, like,
something's forcing it. And then otherwise, a 24.
I'm not that high. I'm at a 19.
Yeah, you don't think he's being controlled. He sounds more confused that you're here, that you're this far in.
We literally said we were coming.
You said you were coming, yes.
Okay. He didn't expect us to make it.
Well, I got a 22.
Yeah, I don't know. I interpret that more as like he would maybe expect us to run into us like at the front door, at the front gate. Like, I know it was overrun by trolls and shit, but like that's where we should be. We shouldn't have like plowed through three towers of his house, you know?
That's a very fair assessment.
So I think we kind of all look at each other. We're all getting the vibe that, you know, he's not lying.
Well, we should let him in, right?
And at this point he says, quickly, before she sees.
Well, right. With that, let's pop it open. Let's go.
So you open the door and you see in front of you the beast of Lepidstat. But this beast looks prepared for something. For something dangerous. His silhouette blocks out much of the frame of the door, but you can see hanging around his shoulder and ready in his right hand a huge ogre hook brandished as a weapon. And across his back, a double crossbow that looks more akin to a ballista. He scurries into the room once the door is open for him and slams the door shut behind him.
Everybody be quiet. She's in here. She's waiting for us.
My friend, it's been so long since we've seen you. It's good to see you again, albeit under complicated circumstances. I've cut to the chase. This woman you speak of is the Mad Doctor Saloom, isn't it?
Yes. I met her in the swamp. She told me she was working with Father. He's trapped up there. She tried to bind me when I came back, tried to hurt me. She made me fight my brother. Just because she wanted to see it. I think he's gone mad now. I don't know how long she's been here, but my father's almost dead. He's dying up there. I came back. My brother,
and as he says this, you all kind of see like his stitching is loose in places, and it looks like parts of him are almost falling off. And he continues,
my brother pushed me from the tower onto the rocks at the bottom. I went back to the swamp. I got my things to come back.
Is this about to be the Hound in the Mountain?
I think so. I think you're 100% right.
Just calm down, Beast. Calm down. You remember your poems? Breathe now. You can do it.
There is no time for poems. Not now.
Oh, you also probably don't recognize me with my hair.
You had hair last time I saw you.
But it's much longer now.
I thought that was weird, but I'm also a stitched-together man, so I tend to let things slide.
Well, you're very observant, but thank you. I'm working on different styles these days.
I don't know enough of what's going on up there, but where's Lyra?
That's something, actually, Larry. This is where I agree with you. We have to take her out. She's harming your father, and she's the reason our gentle wave of a friend is gone.
What do you mean?
She fell to a trap, Larry. A trap set by the nefarious Dr. Saloom. She is no longer with us. We conducted the burial less than a day ago.
And you would never believe this was possible from a creature made of others' flesh. But he rages, and you see every muscle fiber in his body bulge and extend, and it almost appears that he's growing and becoming furious. You can see the spittle and froth at his lips as his eyes and mouth, although they can't contort between crying and laughing, it appears that he's laughing and raging. And his hand grips so tight on the orc hook, it begins to bend.
Larry, this is the energy we need. We need to channel it, though, upstairs. We have to go up there.
Kill her.
And he just, like, you know when in Dragon Ball Z when somebody goes Super Saiyan? That's what he's starting to look like right now. Like, all his veins are popping and his muscles are bulging and he looks furious.
And Eclipse will nudge Freya and say,
isn't this a great friend to have on your side?
If we work together, we can't lose.
There will be plenty of time for pleasantries and catching up once Dr. Saloom is dead, Larry, but... And Matumbe looks at Ikmer, looks at Eclipse, he looks at Freya, and then he settles on the beast. It is time to finish this. I think we all know that.
And as you say that, you hear a slight creak from the hatch above, and a creature pops into existence where it wasn't visible before.
Bullshit.
At the base of the stairs.
Is this a good time to say that I'm holding an extract and that my book is on my belt? Because that's how it is.
Okay, that's fine. Because that's how it always be.
It will be from now on.
Because you got skills. And the beast, like, goes from raging to taking a couple breaths.
Waxwood? I thought you were dead.
And he rushes over to the small creature and scoops it up.
We're all looking at each other like, what the hell?
You can go ahead and make a knowledge arcana check.
Yeah, thank you. I'll, of course, aid.
I also aid.
Oh boy.
This is going to be way too frequent for you to keep doing that.
22.
22?
With all the aids and everything. That was extraordinarily low on them dice.
So 22 with how many aids?
With the two.
No, with the two aids, yeah. You can tell this is a homunculus. Okay. With a 26,
you imagine? No.
Oh, that was with the AIDS. Yeah, that was total. 22 is with the AIDS. Yeah, it's a homunculus, but clearly the beast knows it.
Okay. I think we let this play out. I'm not trying to interfere here. They're having a moment.
Well, he's clearly, like, he's tossing him up on his shoulder and, like, and bouncing him around and hugging him. And you can see, like, the beast is being a little bit ginger with the creature. And he sets him down and he turns to you and he says,
"This is my father's... Well, he's close to my brother. He's been around longer than I have. He's my father's best friend. This is Waxwood."
And the small creature bows.
"Hi."
He waves.
"Nice to meet you."
He kind of feigns tipping a hat at you.
Can I do a general sense motive here?
You can sense motive.
11.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really tell heads or tails about this thing.
"Wanna help us kill Dr. Saloom?"
And he gives you, like, two thumbs up.
"Let's roll."
So he would tug on, I think, he would tug on Eclipse's, like, armor or any loose, like, clothing she has because she's the closest in size to it.
Okay.
And he would mime, like, scribbling on a notepad. He would point at himself, and then he'd give you kind of like the hands across the throat, and he'd shake his shoulders. You can make a sense motive.
Can I do that as well?
Yeah, if you're watching this, you can.
20.
I'll try to aid.
Yeah, with a 20, you can tell he's trying to mime that he can't speak himself.
Yeah, I
he's
got
miming
that.
For okay. like a pad of paper.
Frey, you've got paper, right? I think I saw you writing a letter.
I have a few extra pieces. She pulls out some little strips of paper and something to write with.
I have chalk.
Perfect.
I think of that.
So I imagine you guys give him some time. It appears he's writing several pages of information. And, as he hands it to you, it really, what he's saying is attempting to impart a sense of urgency. He says that that Karamark is trapped in the upper laboratory by a woman. He's been able to remain concealed, and you remember him being able to, like, kind of pop into vision. He's been able to remain concealed and feed his master and give his master water inconspicuously to keep him alive, but he's trapped in an apparatus that's basically forcing him to starve to death. He's been in there for a few weeks. He writes that he is suspicious, that the doctor is getting suspicious of the longevity of his master. But since his master was a great alchemist, she hasn't yet taken him out to study. Furthermore, he writes that his master's most dangerous creation has taken a liking to the woman up there. She's been performing nefarious experiments on people from Lepidstadt and otherwise, as far as he can glean. She's been using his father's work and knows how to control the Beast of Lepidstadt. He continues, "If you do not catch her by surprise, she will likely activate that influence. And you will have to fight not only the beast, but his brother. So exercise caution. He makes a knowledge check. Does not succeed. So then he would write, which of you is the most intelligent? Which of you is the most stealthy? Will need these skills along with strength in order to overcome the mad doctor and the aberrant Promethean.
Stealth's not great for us.
I got a plus 5.
I got a plus 3.
Minus 1.
Yeah, definitely not me.
So, me?
Yeah. I got the intelligence unlocked, but for stealth, yeah.
So it's Matumbe and myself.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Power couple.
He would say, one of you, preferably the most intelligent, must make it to the bondslave thrall. The aberrant Promethean is up there somewhere, though I haven't seen him in days. The doctor is up there experimenting. She knows you are here. And that's where he ends his note. And as you guys formulate a plan to head to the top of the tower and face both Dr. Saloom and this aberrant Promethean, with the Beast of Lepidstat, with Larry at your side, you all pull a drink out of Ikmer's flask, and you finish your drinks, because we'll see you next week.
Aw, yeah.
Cool.
I knew it.